This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Triad stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. In many ways, the big stories in the Triad last year told big stories about the whole state. Greensboro is part of a lawsuit against redistricting at the local level. Reynolds and Lower Lard completed their merger, marking the end of a tobacco giant born here in Greensboro. And the city's police department made national news as part of a New York Times story about racial disparities and traffic stops. So if past is prologue, we will look back at those stories and more to see what's ahead for 2016. Joining me now are two writers from the Greensboro News and Record. Joe Killian is a reporter, Susan Ladd is a columnist at the News and Record, and they join us now at Triad Stage. Thanks for joining us. Joe, let's talk about one of those ongoing stories. In 2015, Greensboro is party to a suit about local redistricting. Remind us about that one.
Yeah, this kind of sucked all the political air out of the room last year. It's set to do the same thing this year. For those coming in late, the General Assembly decided to redistrict the Greensboro City Council to change the makeup of the board, the map from which they're elected, the districts, and they did this without a referendum or local input. But the Greensboro City Council passed a referendum against it. It was enormously unpopular in Greensboro and thought to be political. So they sued, and we are now heading into our second year of lawsuit wrangling, both the City of Greensboro suing and also the Southern Coalition for Social Justice on behalf of a number of individuals in Greensboro.
Give us some of the details. What would it have done?
Well, it would have changed the city council in a number of ways. It would have gone to a straight district system, so no at-large representatives that are elected by the entire city. It would have made the mayor's role sort of more ceremonial, without a vote in a number of ways. Of course, a lot of this stuff changed again and again going forward. One of the things that people were most upset about is that a lot of times when this sort of thing happens, there's some sort of local referendum, people can vote on this, and they weren't willing to consider that. So it was a big fight at the state level going all the way into the summer, and now we're in a lawsuit.
I can't imagine the politics would be involved in this, but let's say, for instance,
right,
that a Republican legislature did want to affect the affairs of a Democratic-controlled city.
Right.
What would be the advantage of that particular configuration?
Well, you know, the thought is that, and who knows how it will ultimately bear itself out, but the thought is that you would elect fewer Democrats if you are electing people, fewer people at large, because Greensboro has an enormous Democratic advantage at the polls. So, and also, you know, analyzing some of the districts, the allegation in the lawsuit is that at least one of them, but probably a couple of them, are racially gerrymandered. So that would end up.
All right. And the other critique, I guess, on the part of Democrats and other critics is, hey, I thought you guys, the Republicans, were the party of small government, local control. What happened here? And that's part of the...
Well, it's also worth noting that our city council is nonpartisan. People do not run as Republicans and Democrats. And the General Assembly could have decided to change that and make it partisan, but there's no advantage to running as a Republican in Greensboro. It can only hurt you in certain areas.
Let's talk about another story. New York Times highlighted Greensboro in its own case study in a piece about racial disparity in traffic stops this year. It made some headlines, and it provoked some changes, although the police chief will say those changes were in the works. But tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the New York Times article pointed out some data that was already out there that showed that Greensboro has what looks like an enormous statistical problem with the rate at which black drivers are stopped, the rate at which they are searched compared to white drivers, even though fewer things are found when they are searched,
right.
Things of that nature. And so the police department is now reacting to that by speeding up its timetable on some things that they say that they were already going to do. One of those, the most important of which, I guess, so far, is that they put a halt to very small deals, traffic stops, like you got a broken taillight or something. And as a result of that, in the 1 month that they've had to quantify it against a previous month in a previous year, it evened out to about only 10 more black drivers stopped than white drivers.
So a couple of significant points here. One, the fact that the New York Times could even do that story speaks to the amount of data that we collect in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, right? Yeah, that's right.
So that's a good thing. And now police can react one way or another. They can say, well, you know, we're doing our job as a statistical anomaly. Or you can do what you did in Greensboro, which is to say, this is troubling. I wonder what I should do, and do something.
And the police also this month have been having a series of, last month, been having a series of community meetings with people to get some input. And they are for sure hearing a lot of suggestions from the community.
And Susan, you've been writing about police community relations in your columns. Tell us about those meetings and what you're hearing.
Well, the city has a very long history of trouble in this area and distrust, and a lot of it stems from the Klan Nazi shootings in 1979. And there's been no real significant repair of that, and there's just been this lingering distrust. But the good news is that this is a community that will not stop talking. It's always willing to confront this issue and not give up trying to heal that rift. The community city working group that has been meeting since last year has the potential to really make headway here, because it includes Mayor Vaughn, it includes Nelson Johnson, who was a survivor of the Klan Nazi shooting for one thing, and has long been a leader in the African American community here on this and other issues, and they refuse to leave the table even on days when they've gotten frustrated. They refuse to leave the table.
Well, that is significant that they were brought together. Again, Nelson Johnson on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, but the city didn't participate in that. So you had these siloed conversations.
Yes.
Now they're together. But tell us who makes up now this commission. Who's on this panel?
Well, the city community, I can't give you all the members, but it was started by Nelson Johnson and Mayor Vaughn, and they decided they would each pick 10 people. And so there are city council representatives, there are county commissioners, there are a lot of faith leaders from the black and white communities who have always been sort of active in this area. And then there are a lot of the people like Nelson Johnson and Curtis Brown who have been fighting the fight, you know, for decades here in this town.
What are they saying, or did they address the question of what the police chief did here and the fact that there is something happening and that they're paying attention, they're keeping track of the outcomes, both in terms of racial disparity, but then you also have to look at the crime rate. You hope that that doesn't,
right,
you know, that there aren't more traffic accidents or something,
right,
else.
Right, and initially there's been no change there. Yeah. I mean, these are not the things that are causing most of the traffic accidents. People not staying in their lane is one of the things that does. The City Community Working Group has already made four, I think, proposals for actions they would like to see the city and the police department take. And that's sort of now being looked at by Assistant City Manager Wesley Reed and Police Chief Wayne Scott. And I will say that, Scott's hiring was controversial. There were a lot of people in the black community who objected to his hiring. But he has shown, I think, great willingness at this point to really tackle this thing and to be open about the discussion. And making the traffic, suspending some of those traffic stops was controversial. This is not something that a lot of other police organizations agree,
right,
with,
both within the department and throughout the city.
Right.
And some of this is going on in Fayetteville as well. So we're seeing movement in the state of North Carolina. So in many ways, because of the data we collect in North Carolina,
yes,
there's a greater spotlight. The spotlight is also promoting change in places like Greensboro and Fayetteville. This is sort of an interesting situation. We are in this really uncomfortable zone for a while. Everybody's looking at you like you're the most racist. Well, no.
Right.
We just have the numbers to prove it. The rest of y'all don't know what you're doing.
Well, and to his credit, Chief Scott wants to collect more data,
yeah,
and make all of that data available to the public. He also favors sharing some of the body camera footage, which the state is now blocking Greensboro from doing. That's supported by the city and by the police department. And so I think that we are sort of poised at a moment where we really can see real change, but it's going to get harder from here. Suspending minor traffic stops is a good first, but it's not the kind of profound change that we're going to need to see.
Well, let's switch gears for one more moment, Joe. We don't have too much time, but I do want to take a look at this election year up ahead. Mark Walker is up for his first re-election campaign. How's that going?
Yeah, the sixth congressional district that was represented by Howard Coble for so long. Mark Walker's been in that spot for a term, and now he's got to defend it. And he's got challengers. Chris Hardin, a Republican from Brown Summit, is going to face him in a GOP primary. Bruce Davis, a former Guilford County commissioner, and Pete Glidewell, a former Alamance County Democratic chairman, are the Democrats who are facing off against him. And there are people on the right and on the left who are dissatisfied with what he's been doing. He's also got a lot of support among Republicans.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing election year. We're finding these attacks from the right. Renee Elmers is facing some of the same things, a challenge from the right. And, you know, who thought it could go farther to the right? And so, I mean, very seriously, I mean, that's how she ran.
You never want to bet against it.
No, and it is. And so we're seeing these kinds of challenges. So we'll keep an eye on this race as well. I want to thank you both for being with us today. Joe Killian, a reporter for the News and Record, Susan Ladd, columnist for that same August Journal. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a Greensboro man celebrates his death with a decoration party of his cremation casket. And we'll talk with him on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. But first, we're going to hear some music from Terry Fritz and Alex Edney on the guitars that they made. Let's listen, and we'll be right back.
From Reno, I was chased by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep at night till the morning came around. Said I'd run, I'm gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, I just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, babe, and he loaned me 20 bills. Spent the night in Utah and I came up in the hills. Said I'm running, gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. If I get home before daylight, I just might get some sleep tonight.